Welcome to our deep dive into Assyrian history. We're going beyond the typical history lesson today, exploring how Assyrian kings exerted power, the strategies they used, and what all that meant for the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. You've provided a fascinating mix of lectures and historical analysis for this, so we've got a lot to dig into.
It's a pivotal period full of drama, and the Assyrians really left their mark on the ancient world. I think you'll find how their story intertwines with the biblical narrative, especially interesting.
Definitely. So to really get a sense of their impact, I think we need to start with their rise to power. The sources mentioned that Assyria wasn't always the dominant force we imagine them to be.
That's right. They started as a relatively minor Mesopotamian power, but over time, they transformed into this incredibly powerful empire, known for their military strength and let's be honest, their brutality.
The sources don't shy away from describing their ruthlessness, massive armies, brutal siege tactics, and a reputation for cruelty that spread throughout the ancient Near East. It's pretty intense.
And it wasn't just for show. Shalmaneser III, for example, boasted about capturing 110,000 slaves and killing 82,000 in just one campaign against Urartu. Those numbers are a stark reminder of the scale and intensity of Assyrian warfare.
It's hard to even fathom those figures. And speaking of figures who embraced power, Dr. Fowler, in his lecture, drew an interesting parallel between the Assyrian kings and Ahab, the king of Israel. He described Ahab's approach as internationalist, materialist, and militarist. What exactly did he mean by that, and how does it connect to Assyria?
Well, Dr. Fowler's point is that Ahab, like the Assyrians, pursued a policy focused on engaging with other nations, accumulating wealth and resources, and building a strong military. While these things can bring a certain level of success and influence, they also often come at a cost, particularly when they are pursued at the expense of other values.
So in a way, both the Assyrian kings and Ahab were focused on worldly power, even if it clashed with more spiritual or ethical considerations.
Precisely. It raises a question that we see play out throughout history. What are the dangers of pursuing power for its own sake? And what compromises are made along the way? It's something worth thinking about as we delve deeper into the choices made by both the Assyrians and the kingdoms they interacted with.
Now, you can't talk about Assyrian power without mentioning the Black Obelisk, right? This monument really captures their dominance in a very, very visual way. I mean, you've got Jehu, the king of Israel, literally bowing down before Shalmaneser III.
The Black Obelisk is truly remarkable. It offers this incredibly vivid window into Assyrian art and propaganda. Imagine being an Israelite at the time and seeing this. Your own king, supposedly chosen by Yahweh, is depicted prostrating himself before a foreign ruler. It must have been a jarring and perhaps even faith-shaking image.
I can only imagine the range of reactions and interpretations people would have had. It really makes you wonder about how people of faith reconciled those kinds of events with their beliefs.
It's a question that resonates throughout history, especially when a nation or people experience upheaval or defeat. Where do you find meaning and understanding when faced with such events? The Black Obelisk certainly provides a powerful visual representation of that struggle.
We left off with the Assyrians really, really asserting themselves on the world stage. It seems like their military strength was a big part of that. But I'm curious about the other factors that contributed to their success. Did they just bulldoze their way through everything, or was there more to it?
They were definitely known for their military might, but their longevity as an empire can't be attributed to brute force alone. They were incredibly strategic in how they consolidated and maintained power. Take Tiglathpileser III, for example. He wasn't content with simply conquering. He wanted to ensure Assyrian dominance for the long haul, and he did that through some pretty innovative reforms.
I've heard about his reforms, but I don't fully understand how they worked. What was so innovative about them?
Well, he was a master of administration and recognized potential threats to his rule. To diminish those threats, he divided large, powerful provinces into smaller, more manageable ones. This classic divide and conquer strategy effectively weakened potential rivals and consolidated his own power.
That's clever. But managing such a vast empire must present logistical challenges, especially in terms of communication. How did he address that?
He was ahead of his time in recognizing the importance of efficient communication. He established a system for rapid communication across the empire, similar to an ancient version of the Pony Express. This allowed him to receive information and respond to threats quickly, effectively maintaining control and keeping those rebellious provinces in check. Think about how important that was back then. No phones, no internet, just strategic planning and a well-organized relay system.
It's amazing to think about the level of organization required to manage such a vast empire without modern technology. But let's talk about the less savory side of Assyrian rule, the mass deportations. It's a policy that sends chills down my spine.
It's a dark chapter in their history, and the scale of it is hard to comprehend. Tiglath-Pileser III realized that a population's connection to its homeland could fuel resistance. So he implemented mass deportation as a way to break those bonds and prevent rebellions. He forcibly relocated millions of people throughout the empire, disrupting lives, scattering communities, and changing the cultural landscape of the ancient Near East forever.
It's a stark reminder that forced displacement, a tragic reality throughout history, continues to impact millions of people today. The sheer scale of human suffering involved is impossible to ignore.
Absolutely. And those deportations had a profound impact on the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. In fact, for the northern kingdom of Israel, it ultimately led to their downfall. A series of poor decisions combined with overwhelming Assyrian might culminated in Shalmaneser V, Tiglath-Pileser's successor, besieging Samaria and the capital of Israel.
The sources mention some conflicting accounts of the city's final capture. Some credit Shalmaneser V, while others point to Sargon II. What's the truth?
It's one of those historical mysteries where the evidence is somewhat contradictory. Both the biblical text and a Babylonian chronicle suggest that the city fell to Shalmaneser V. However, Sargon II, the next Assyrian king, also claimed credit for the victory. Perhaps he wanted to bolster his own image or solidify his claim to power.
It makes you wonder how much of history is shaped by those vying for power and control, even their accounts of the past. Regardless of who delivered the final blow, the outcome for Israel was devastating. The 10 tribes were deported and scattered throughout the Assyrian Empire, never to be reunited. It's a pivotal moment in biblical history, a stark reminder of the fragility of kingdoms, even those believed to be divinely chosen.
It also speaks volumes about the Assyrians' military prowess, especially their mastery of siege warfare. They were relentless, employing advanced weaponry and sophisticated tactics to break down even the most fortified cities. Samaria's fall is a testament to their military capabilities and their determination to subdue those who resisted their rule.
But what about the southern kingdom, Judah? Did they suffer the same fate?
Not right away. Sargon II and his successor Sennacherib continued to expand the Assyrian Empire, but Judah, at least for a time, managed to hold on. But that doesn't mean they escaped the Assyrian threat unscathed.
That's right. Sennacherib's invasion of Judah and his siege of Jerusalem is a story filled with drama and intrigue. It really captures the clash of empires and the intensity of the Assyrian war machine. What can you tell us about that pivotal event?
Well, Sennacherib's campaign against Judah is well documented, particularly in the biblical accounts, providing a vivid firsthand perspective on the terror they inflicted on their enemies. Even Hezekiah, the king of Judah, known for his devotion to Yahweh, faced an incredible test of faith when confronted with the Assyrian onslaught.
The sources mention that Sennacherib captured several fortified cities in Judah leading up to Jerusalem. Was Jerusalem able to resist?
That's where the story takes a fascinating turn. The siege of Jerusalem is shrouded in some mystery, with differing accounts of how it played out. The biblical narrative claims that an angel of the Lord intervened, striking down a vast number of Assyrian soldiers and forcing Sennacherib to retreat. It's a dramatic portrayal of divine intervention, suggesting that even the mighty Assyrian army was no match for God's power.
Divine intervention. It sounds almost miraculous. But do other historical records support this account?
That's where things get interesting. Assyrian records do mention the campaign against Judah and the siege of Jerusalem, but they offer a different interpretation. Sennacherib boasts that he tracked Hezekiah in Jerusalem like a bird in a cage, forcing him to pay a hefty tribute to secure his survival. There's no mention of a divine intervention or a devastating loss of troops.
So it seems we have two versions of the story, each with its own spin and perhaps a bit of propaganda woven in. It's fascinating to see how how different perspectives can shape our understanding of history, even when describing the same events.
Precisely. And what's remarkable is that both accounts agree on one crucial point. Sennacherib failed to capture Jerusalem, whether it was divine intervention, logistical challenges, a strategic miscalculation, or perhaps a combination of factors. The Assyrian war machine was thwarted. It's a significant moment that raises many questions about the nature of power, the role of faith, and the unpredictable twists of history.
It's incredible to think that even at the height of their power, the Assyrians couldn't conquer Jerusalem. It makes you wonder, what if they had? How would history have unfolded differently?
It's a question that historians and theologians have pondered for centuries. The impact on the southern kingdom of Judah, the development of Jewish identity, and even the course of monotheism are all intertwined with the fate of Jerusalem. It's a reminder that even seemingly small events can have far-reaching consequences.
Thinking about those ripple effects is fascinating. But even without taking Jerusalem, the Syrian Empire was massive at this point, stretching from the Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean Sea. How did they maintain control over such a vast and diverse territory for so long?
Their success can be attributed to a combination of factors. Their military prowess was undeniable, but their administrative skills, strategic planning, and unfortunately their ruthlessness also played a significant role. They were masters of intimidation and control, using both hard power and carefully crafted propaganda to solidify their rule.
You can really see those elements reflected in their art and architecture, can't you? The imposing Lamassu statues guarding their palaces, the intricate reliefs depicting their military triumphs. It all seems designed to project an image of overwhelming power and dominance.
Absolutely. Those weren't just decorations. They were calculated expressions of power intended to inspire awe and fear in anyone who encountered them. They were masters of psychological warfare, making it clear that defying them would have dire consequences.
It's almost as if they were sending a message, don't even think about messing with us. But even with all that power and intimidation, the Assyrian Empire eventually declined and fell.
Right.
What led to their demise?
Empires rarely crumble overnight. It was a gradual process, a combination of internal and external pressures that ultimately eroded their strength. Internal strife, succession disputes, rebellious provinces on the periphery, all chipped away at their unity and control.
It sounds like the very things that helped them rise to power. Their military focus, their expansionism, their ruthlessness eventually became burdens they could no longer sustain. It's almost poetic in a way.
You could say that the constant need to maintain such a vast empire drained their resources and manpower. And as their power waned, their enemies sensed an opportunity. Eventually, a coalition of forces, including the Babylonians and the Medes, rose up and overthrew the Assyrian Empire. It was a dramatic fall from grace for an empire that had once seemed invincible.
The story of the Assyrian Empire is a powerful reminder that power, no matter how absolute it may seem, is always fleeting. It's a lesson that echoes throughout history, right up to the present day.
It certainly does. The Assyrians left an undeniable mark on the ancient world, but their legacy is a complex one, a mix of innovation, brutality, and ultimately impermanence. Their rise and fall serves as a cautionary tale, urging us to reflect on the nature of power and its impact on individual societies and even entire civilizations. What are the true foundations of lasting power? What compromises are made in its pursuit? And what kind of legacy do we leave behind? These are questions worth pondering as we navigate our own complex world.
That's a powerful thought to end on.
Yeah.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Assyrian history, I want to leave our listener with one final clone to consider. What lessons can we learn from the Assyrians, both from their successes and their failures? How can their story inform our understanding of power, leadership, and the challenges we face in the world today?
It's a question worth exploring, both individually and collectively. The echoes of history are all around us, and the Assyrians, for all their complexity and contradictions, offer a compelling case study in the rise and fall of empires, the allure and dangers of power, and the enduring human struggle for meaning and purpose in a world shaped by forces both within and beyond our control.
Thank you for guiding us through this incredible journey into Assyrian history. It's been an eye-opening experience, to say the least.
The pleasure was all mine. And as always, I encourage you to keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking a deeper understanding of the world around you. The past, for all its complexities, can offer valuable insights into the present and future if we're willing to listen and learn.